Welcome to Flying Higher with host Gina Jones, author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Each Sunday, Gina highlights the efforts of conscious people that are empowering individuals with the universal knowledge and the spiritual tools to fly toward their highest potential. Now, here's Gina.
Welcome to Flying Higher. This is Karen Stone, your co-host for tonight. I'm sitting in for Gina E. Jones, the originator of Flying Higher and founder of Seeing the Light Productions. Gina is also the author of the inspiring and captivating book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth. And if you haven't had a chance to read Gina's book yet, it is a great read. I finished it last week. It's delightful for the second time through. You can get a copy of her book through Amazon or through her website, which is www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com. Well, I am very excited about our show tonight. Our guest tonight is Carol O'Connell. And Carol is a motivator. She inspires people to expand their thinking. She's committed to teaching the universal principles of creative living. She's also a spiritual life coach, and she does seminars, retreats, and workshops. Carol is the author of the book, The Power of Choice, 10 Steps to a Joyous Life. Carol, are you with me?
I am right here, Karen. Good to
talk
to you.
It's great to talk with you, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to say, you know, I've spent many a Sunday morning with you, but this may be the first Sunday night we've had together.
Probably so.
And perhaps we might want to explain that a little bit to our listeners. For many years here in Atlanta, where Carol and I both live, Carol was a senior minister at a church here, a Unity Church, and I used to attend regularly. So that's why we're used to seeing each other on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm. I had many years of being able to have the joy of speaking to folks like you on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. And I can tell you it was our pleasure. Well, I know that for the past couple of years, your life has been going through quite a change.
Mm-hmm.
You've made some big changes and retired from the active ministry. And I wanted to ask you about that level of change in your life and how that's been for you.
Well, it's been a wonderful opportunity. After 25 years of ministry, which I absolutely loved, I realized that it was time for me to step into the next part of my life, the next level of my life. And so I retired from church ministry, and I kind of surrendered. I really didn't know what I was going to do, but it was one of those times in my life where I really could trust that the universe was going to handle the details and that I would be guided to whatever the next step was going to be in my life. And many people had said to me over the years, well, you really should write a book. But truthfully, I really never really enjoyed writing. I loved speaking, mm-hmm. but I didn't really enjoy writing, so I didn't have a lot of interest in writing a book. But after I retired, my husband and I went on a cruise, and we were in the Mediterranean, and, you know, you become very inspired when you're traveling like that and looking out at the water and just having a very relaxing time. And I said to myself, well, I don't know about writing a book, but if a book is meant to come through me, then I'm going to be an open channel for a book to come through me, and it will write itself through me. So then I thought a little bit more about it, and I thought, well, if I were to write a book, what is my message? You know, after all of these years of practicing and really living the spiritual path, because, as you know, it is my passion to live spiritual principles. And I thought, well, what is the one message that I think is more important than anything else? And I believe that we have come here to be joyous creators. We have come here not to have struggle, and pain and suffering, although that can happen. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose for being here is to live in joy and to be a joyous creator and taking thought beyond any place it's ever been before. And so I thought, well, that is really, really my message. And it
came out entitled
The Power of... Excuse me?
Oh, no, please go ahead.
It came out entitled The Power of Choice because we are always a choice. So
okay.
we can choose for joy, we can choose to be grateful and appreciate life, or we can choose to stay in the struggle and see that as the way life is meant to be.
Well, I can tell you, I really like the subtitle underneath The Power of Choice for the exact reasons you were talking about right now, because one of the things you say is that, you know, it's the power of choice, but it's the 10 steps to a joyous life. It wasn't 10 steps to a fulfilled life or 10 steps to, you know, a magnificent life or 10 steps to a powerful life or whatever. It said joyous. And when I first looked at that, I went, you know what? That is the point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For us to live in joy. And all those other things are great things to aspire to also. But the point is to have the experience of being in joy. And that's one of the things that I really would resonate with you when I had the opportunity to be around you, is I got that there was some kind of a level of joy in your life and excitement. There was an adventure feel about you. And I always had that great feeling because I was like, yeah, she's an adventurer.
Well, it's looking at the glass either half empty or half full. And regardless of the outer circumstances of your life, because it's not as if nothing ever happens to you in life, because life does happen. But regardless of the outer circumstances of your life, you can still have an inner sense of knowing and an inner sense of peace, an inner sense of joy. And you can live from that place. And then when life happens and life brings you something that is less than joyful, you can still stay in that place of, okay, this too shall pass. Okay, we're moving through this now, you know, without getting all caught up. When I was first early on the spiritual path, which goes back about 35 years, I used to think that, well, everything that happened to me, I had to figure it out. I had to
Right.
figure out why. I had to know why. What was the message? What was the lesson? And I will say that many, many times when something happens to us in life, we do. There is a message there. There's always a gift there. But sometimes when we seek to find it and we spend so much time focused on why did this happen to me and what is it I'm supposed to learn, our focus goes to the problem. And like Einstein says, you cannot solve a problem at the level of the problem. And so there we are in the problem, enmeshed in the problem. And we really can't see the light. And we're not available for the divine guidance that is always available to us. We're not available to it. We're not available to receive it.
So our intellect is actually trying to figure it out, and that's setting up a block so that we can't really understand or get what we are
right.
to get from any particular circumstance?
Exactly. Very well said. Our intellect gets in the way because we think we have to figure it out. We are a society of goal setters. We're a society of we're going to make it happen. We're a society. In our culture, we have learned how to set goals and work really hard and make it happen. And that does work, but it's really hard work.
It's a lot of work.
Very often, we get in the way of our highest good. And
So they probably wouldn't want to hire you to do a Nike commercial because you probably wouldn't stand up and just say, just do it.
Well, now, there are times when you just do it. There are times when the guidance is so strong and the instinct is so strong and you go, okay, you know, let's go do it. I think what happens for a lot of people is they have a dream, they have an idea, and they do move into action too quickly. They
okay.
don't really align themselves in consciousness with the idea before they're jumping into action, which would be the just do it type of concept. And then sometimes that's what messes us up, because we jump into action and we really haven't aligned ourselves with the energy to really bring that into fulfillment, and then we run into blocks. And have you ever been in a situation where you're pushing the rock uphill?
Oh, yeah.
You're just pushing it uphill. And you go, why is this so difficult? Well, what I've learned is that when I'm pushing the rock uphill, I need to stop. I just need to stop. That it's not supposed to be difficult. If it's not falling into place, then it's not meant to be.
Well, I'll tell you, I used to think that pushing rocks uphill was literally the best form of aerobic exercise we could do. And, you know, having been an exercise instructor for almost 30 years myself, I was like, okay, so this has got to be good for you. It's building muscles. It's building ability. It's building tenacity and all those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
So being introduced to the concept that, you know what, if it's too hard, maybe you need to, as you were saying, realign with what you're doing or check out what you're doing. So I guess as I've cruised a little bit quieter here in midlife, I've sort of started to adopt that a little bit. It is easier.
Well, I think it's a good idea for people to just stay aware of, is that
okay.
If they're moving towards something, whether it's a goal or a dream or an idea, and there seem to be so many obstacles, that there's a point where you just kind of surrender it and say,
right.
You know, if this is meant to be, you know, let me tell you a story. You want to hear a story?
Oh, I love just, stories. Go for it.
Well, this is just last night I was talking to my daughter. My daughter lives down in Florida on the West Coast, and she's in her 40s, and a few weeks ago she decided to buy a condominium.
Okay.
And so she was looking at this condominium, and she was writing up a contract for it because she actually is in real estate. And then a realtor called her and said, I've got a better one for you. And this one's upgraded, and it's the same price, but it's upgraded, all new appliances and all that. So my daughter went, oh, that's great. I'm going to get that one instead. Well, during that time, we were talking on the phone, and I said, that's really exciting. And just offhandedly, I mean, I just mouth all things at times. And just offhandedly, I just said, well, I know that you're affirming for your right and perfect home. And so whatever it is, it'll come forth. And she just told me last night that she didn't say anything to me at the moment, but in her mind she went, oh, crap, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not affirming for my right and perfect home. So she said that became her mantra. And so while she's drawing up this contract and she's sending it over to this realtor and she's starting to pack up her apartment and she's starting to figure out where to put furniture and getting all excited about it, she's affirming, I am in my right and perfect home. I am in my right and perfect home. I am in my right and perfect home. Well, the next day the realtor called her, and the most bizarre experience is that the realtor had sold her the wrong condominium.
Had sold her the wrong condominium?
Yeah, sold her the wrong condominium. It wasn't the one that they had been talking about. It wasn't the one she went to see. Now, that's just bizarre, okay? Now, that just doesn't happen. It's bizarre.
No, it doesn't happen.
But what my daughter got was, oh, my goodness. I put this out there. I said I'm in my right and perfect home, and this bizarre incident comes along, and it's not the right one. The other one was still available, but she said, no, I think that there's a divine guidance here. There's a bigger picture here, and I'm not meant to buy either one of these. And she just stepped back from it, and she started saying, no, I need to research some more. And so she's seeing the gift, and she said to me last night, she said, you know, Mom, if I hadn't started affirming the right and perfect one, I probably would have ended up buying one of those. And she said, as in retrospect, I really don't believe either one of them were right.
Oh, my.
That's how it works.
Wow.
I mean, that's how it works. You know?
That's a great story.
Yeah, when you get yourself out of the way and you just surrender and you go, wait a minute, I am part of a much bigger system of intelligence than just my physical humanity standing right here.
Right.
And we realize that, and we realize that we can tap in to that universal intelligence, and we can utilize that intelligence, tap into it, allow it to move us forward. It's just an amazing experience of life.
Well, one of the things that I really like about that story is that your daughter didn't have to do anything. I mean, it was action that was taken outside of her that created the whole scenario.
Yep.
So it's like she didn't just go ahead and make it happen. It was actually just being aware of what was going on outside of her. So sometimes it's not us that does it. It's
oh,
the circumstances.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, when they talk about divine guidance or the universe handling the details, it really is, I think of it as we are co-creators of our life.
Right.
We are co-creators. We are co-creating our life with the intelligence of the universe, with the creative life force from which we have come. And religion is called God. You know, spiritual path, we sometimes call it God, or we sometimes just refer to it as the creative life force, the source,
right.
The source from which we have come. And so when we realize that we are co-creating with that source energy, and we're tapping into it, we're utilizing it, we're using it, if that's the potential that's there, and we're not trying to just create by ourselves. Because I think most everybody realizes that our humanity and the world that we live in is a dominantly it's a negative vibration.
Right.
We live in a very, very fear-based society, a very fear-based planet, really, a very fear-based world. And so to step out of that and say, okay, well, there's more to life than just my human self. Now, we absolutely want to take care of our human body because it's our spacesuit that takes
right.
us through this human experience. We want to love on it. We want to appreciate it. We want to treat it good and feed it good and exercise it and, you know, keep it in really good shape because we want to be vitally alive for 100 years.
Right.
But we realize that that's only a piece of us. And our human self is just a very small piece of who we really are.
Right.
We are so much more than that. And the greater dimension of us, each one of us, is in the non-physical. And it's that non-physical perspective that is the guiding light, if you will,
right.
to giving us the guidance and the information and the ideas and the potential that is available for us.
Well, you brought up an interesting point for me that I wanted to actually, perhaps you could give me a little coaching on this one.
Okay.
I totally get that we are, in physical form so that we can have the experiences that you have in a physical body. And for me, it's one of the ways that you can really feel joy. So that would be one of the points of being physical. Yet we are very connected on many levels spiritually. And yet if my physical body is having a response or a reaction or an emotion or something like that, it makes it very difficult sometimes for me to sit down, take a breath and say, but I'm having a spiritual experience.
Absolutely.
And so how would I do that? In an easier and perhaps more elegant way than I might have potentially done it in the past.
Well, one of the things to realize is that when our body is in, the blueprint of our body is perfection. That's
right.
The blueprint of our body. It's absolutely perfection. Our cells are changing all the time and being reworked all the time. So when our body continues to have a disease in it, it means that the memory our consciousness, our vibration is infusing the new cells with that same disease. So one thing to remember is that when we're in good health, it's during those times that we want to bless our body. We want to be
right.
grateful for our body. One of the things that I do is when I go out and take a walk or I jog, I thank my body because every cell in our body has intelligence. Physics has shown us that.
Right.
And so we can talk to our cells and they will respond to our vibration. So I thank my feet and I thank my legs and I thank my hips and my joints and yada, yada, yada. So I thank every part of my body for being so well and so doing what it needs to do. I appreciate my body. And I
right.
tell my body all the time, all the cells in my body are responding to wholeness and wellness. And it's a mantra that I live with. I live with it. Now, I also do a lot of healthy things for my body to keep my body
right.
healthy. But that's the spiritual practice that I have to keep my body in alignment in a high vibration with that blueprint of perfection. Now, sometimes the body will break down. And when the body breaks down, you're absolutely right. It's very difficult when we have pain in our body to rise our vibration above it.
Right.
And it's in those moments that I believe that we have to absolutely surrender into it. And even then, now, I do believe that behind every physical ailment, there is a mental and emotional cause.
Right.
So there's something that has caused this ailment to come forth on an emotional level. And if we're meant to receive that message, if we just ask for it, but not, you know, not labor over it.
Right.
You know, not get all upset if we don't get the message from it, because then we keep ourselves in a low vibration if we kept saying, I have to learn why I have this. Why do I have this? Why? And if we feel guilty about it. You
right.
know, metaphysical malpractice is saying to somebody who's sick, why did you create that? You know,
right.
because, yes, on a literal level, they created it, but on a loving level, you have to be with a person who is going through an experience like that and just soothe them back into connection. And when you're
right.
going through it yourself, you have to soothe yourself. You have to do things that feel good and take your focus off of the problem. It's that same idea, is that if you take your focus off of the problem, doesn't mean you don't deal with it.
Right.
But it means that you don't stay focused on it. You don't tell everybody about it. You don't talk about it constantly. You don't have your mental tapes running about this problem and how terrible it is and all the fears about it and all of that. Because when you do that, your vibration goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the illness. So there's a part of you that has to look at the parts of your body that are working well and appreciate them and value them and thank them and surrender the rest of it and ask for the guidance. Ask, what is it, you know, what am I guided to do? And I'm not saying that you don't do something about it, so I want you to hear that. I'm not
right.
saying that you don't seek medical help. I think that everyone is very responsible for their own medical model, whatever they use. And I believe very much in an integrative model of using the traditional medical model as well as the alternative type of
okay.
medicine, and integrate those two and do the research. I mean, I believe you have to do your own research when you're actually ill and you have a diagnosis of something. You can't just turn it over to any kind of a doctor, whether it's a spiritual healer or a medical doctor. You
right,
have to be responsible
right.
for it and kind of stay with it. But on a spiritual level and on a metaphysical level, you have to step back from it and just kind of surrender whatever this is and ask to be shown. You know, if there's something I need to learn from this, just kind of ask. And as much as possible, relax into it instead of resisting it, trying to push it away. That's not always easy to do, depending on what
right.
the illness is or the discomfort.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking one of the things that I started many years ago, and I had never equated it with this, but when I started teaching exercise, and I still do it today, it's been, you know, almost 3 decades, I always tell my students at the end of the class to thank their bodies for coming along with them to allow them to come and feel the joy of movement.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's like, you know, if your body's not in agreement with you coming here, you're not going to be here. And you don't
get
to have the fun. Yeah, so that's very interesting in that context. I wanted to ask you something else that I found very interesting, and I'm going to change modes on you a little bit here.
Sure.
But when I was looking down the list of the chapter titles in your book as a refresher, there's something that came up for me about, you talk about loving the life you're living now, and that you actually had something in there about live in the emptiness of the space in between the trapeze bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that, and you and I talked briefly about the fact that I have this type of client that keeps coming up in my coaching practice, and it's something that I do teach, but it's being in that don't know space and really being able to experience what that's like. And I wanted to kind of touch base with you on this particular idea that you expressed about being in between the trapeze bars. To me, that sounds absolutely frightening. But if you tell me you're having a don't know, I could probably do that, just because I'm scared of heights, but, you know, the don't knows are okay.
Well,
but is that sort of the same thing
about those trapeze bars?
Oh, good. Thank you. I can now take a deep breath and I'm back with you. My fear's gone now. But is that sort of that same space that we talk about, you know, kind of no person's land in between one thing and another, going through the mid-space of a rite of passage when you're really not sure where you're going?
Yeah, I've discovered that that is when I am most alive. When I'm truly most alive is when I am between things in my life. And when I refer to the trapeze bar, many of us become very comfortable and we move into a comfort zone, which then becomes our rut, and eventually divine discontent comes forth and we have to let go of that rut. And we let go, whether it's a relationship or a career or an illness or a money challenge or whatever it might be, that we say, I'm ready to let go of this now. And we don't know what the next thing that is that's coming into our life, but we trust. We absolutely trust that if we let go of one thing, that we will, and I just use the metaphor of the trapeze bar, we will be swinging in midair. And that's where we become so alive. And now we can get into a lot of fear there. So
because it sounds like terror to me. But no.
Well, the thing is, if the fear comes up, then, you know, number one, let's go back to the trapeze bar. Before you let go of the bar, before you let go of whatever it is that you're wanting to transform in your life, you have aligned yourself with moving into a new space in your life. I mean,
right.
I did that when I let go of the church. Truthfully,
right.
I mean, that was my trapeze bar, and I loved it for many years. And then I realized that I was ready to let go of that, and I really didn't know what was next. But I've discovered over my years is that that is a very exciting time, but I've also have learned to trust that, to trust being in that I don't know place. I think that's a very powerful place to be. When we say to the universe, to our deepest self, our highest self, when we say, I have my little self, I really don't know. I don't know what's next, or I don't know what to do about this, or I don't know how to handle this. That's a moment of surrender.
Right.
And it's a moment of letting go of the need to control it, letting go of the need to figure it out, letting go of the need to know what's next before you step out in trust and know that you'll be guided. And you will be guided every step along the way when you step out and trust. And
right.
It's so exciting. It's the most difficult thing. It is the most difficult spiritual principle to live. And it's
even
difficult for some to understand.
Right.
Is that when you really let go of the details and you let go of your attachment to the outcome, that this intelligence that we live in, this creative life force that we live and move and breathe and have our being in, we will be guided. Doors will open. The telephone will ring. Somebody will call. A new opportunity will come forth. But when we stay in a place of fear or a place that says, I cannot make a move until I have figured out every single detail about this new adventure in my life. I have
we'd never do any. Yeah, we'd never do anything.
Yes, that's right.
We would never do anything.
We would never do anything. But now what happens for some people is they go, okay, they hear something like that, and they say, okay, I'm just going to jump off the edge. But they haven't prepared themselves in consciousness. They
right.
haven't prepared
okay.
themselves vibrationally to do that. So when they jump off the edge, they go into such fear. And we're vibratory beings. We're energetic beings. So when we go into major fear, our vibration goes to a very low, fearful level. And then the only thing we can attract to us are experiences and people and situations that are at the same vibration as that fear. So then, you know, have you ever noticed that when something happens, all of a sudden you meet people and they all have the same experience?
Right.
You go buy a white car and that's all you ever see on the road is white cars?
Exactly.
Well, that's because it's a vibrational attraction. We live in
right.
the law of attraction, you know, the big secret. We've been teaching that secret for 100 years. We didn't know it was a secret, but whatever. That law of attraction is always, always at work. And so we can only attract to us the vibration that we are emitting. So if it's total fear, so people that want to take a step in a new direction, it's real important that they, through affirming, through setting new intentions, through appreciating their life, and stepping into a place that says, I trust that I will be guided. And then
right.
when the fear comes up, because it's normal, when the fear does come up, you don't move into it. You see it, and you accept it. And you say, oh, there you are, fear. Okay. And you take that fear, and you kind of bring it into your heart for transmutation, and you know, you let it go. You don't push against it. Because if you see the fear, and you try to push it away, that you're resisting it, and whatever we resist just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So instead, you just say, I see the fear. Yes, I have some fear. And I see the fear, and I bring it into my heart, and I can feel it here, and it's really okay.
Exactly.
And I can step through that fear, and I can move through it, and I can still trust that all things are working together for good.
Well, it's interesting, Carol, because I was thinking, you know, I have written a booklet about the Don't Know experience, and one of the ways I wrote it for myself, first of all, because I was going through a Don't Know, and I wanted to be able to navigate it in a way that I would grow.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I actually came up with this idea that sort of circumvented my fear of not being able to know where I was or where I was going. So what I did is I said, oh, I know exactly where I am. I have my feet very firmly planted in midair. And that's a place. And that's a place. It's a place.
Yes,
it's like being
like
on
that.
The ground. It's just that my feet happen.
I like that.
It's just that my feet happen to be in midair. So, yeah. So, yeah, I totally relate to the trapeze thing. I'll tell you what,
well,
Carol,
you know,
I'm going to get...
There's that adage that if you go to the edge, you know, you go to the edge and you step off the edge, you'll fly. You'll learn how to fly.
Well,
you have that sense of trust that you will you will fly when you step off of that edge, as opposed to plummeting.
Exactly. Carol, I'm going to pause for just a second in case anyone's out there that would like to call in. I just wanted to give the phone numbers. You're listening to Flying Higher on BBS Late Night Radio, and here are the phone numbers if you'd like to call in. And if you have a question or a comment for Carol, the number in the United States is 877-270-8714. The toll-free number in Canada is 888-861-3519. And you can find those numbers on your internet radio screen. Okay, Carol, we're back.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you another question before I find out a little bit more about what you're up to now. I know that throughout your career, you've had the opportunity to really be in the presence of and be friends with a lot of people that are known as some of the most recognized spiritual and personal development teachers around. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, of course, Alan Cohen, who endorsed your book. And what I wanted to ask you is, have you found any kind of common denominator among this group of people who are out there teaching at what a lot of people would call a very big or high level? I was just curious because you've had the opportunity to be friends with so many of these people.
That's a great question, Karen. Yes, I would say that there are several common denominators, but perhaps the one that speaks most loudly to me is their passion. They are all very, very passionate about their message. And now their message is very similar. Most all of them have a very similar message. They come from it from a different perspective. Deepak Chopra comes from the scientific perspective and the medical perspective and the Ayurvedic perspective, and Wayne Dyer comes from more the psychological and the spiritual. So they come from little, and Marianne Williamson comes from a very political, socially oriented perspective, as well as Course in Miracles. So everybody sort of has their own path and their own journey, but they all are passionate and they live it. They live it. And they teach from what they know.
Okay.
They teach from what they live, which is why they are such powerful and respected and successful teachers. Because they're not just coming up with some nice theories and stories and then teaching them. They live what they teach. And that is their common denominator. And I think walking our talk is probably the most powerful form of teaching that we can ever do, is being the model for a joyous life. I mean, I couldn't really write about how to have a joyous life if I didn't have a joyous life.
That's true. And
a lot of people
that
write about money and success in business, and they do that because they come from a place of being very successful in business and making a lot of money. So it's you write about what you know, and you write about what you're living.
Well, it's also interesting. I always resonated with that part of you that I could tell did have a joyous life and does have a joyous life. So I think that was one thing that was always very believable for me. And I think the other thing was that when I would go to places as a seeker and as a student, oftentimes I would run into you, like at Abraham or Millionaire Mind or things like that. And it left me with this feeling of, you're out there learning too and seeing what else is out there for you.
Oh, yeah, I am a forever student. I really am. I think the greatest passion in my life is learning. and taking these principles that for the first 33 years of my life I didn't know existed, and then for the last 35 years I have been incorporating these principles into my life, and that has been my journey. It's truly been my passionate and my joyous journey to keep taking these principles, because you never learn it all. I mean,
right.
You don't. And you never get it all done. I mean, there's always another level. And so the joy of life is taking these principles to a deeper and deeper level. And that's what brought me to the awareness, particularly in the last couple of years doing coaching with folks, that the most difficult piece for all of us is to truly let go and trust that the details of whatever it is that we want, the details will come to us. They will be guided to us. They will be provided to us. They will fall into place. If we hold a vision for our life, or a vision for a relationship, or a vision for a career, that those details will fall into place when we set the intention and we create a vision that's bigger than we are. And then we just step into it and we begin to live it. We begin to feel it. We begin to visualize it. We set those intentions and then we feel what they feel like. And we stay in that higher vibration around it and things fall into place. And it's just so exciting to see that happen. No matter what the vision is, it's exciting to watch that happen.
Well, I think it is exciting. Of course, my mind is very active at the moment going, okay, Carol, here I am. I'm sitting here, the type A doer, figure it all out, all that kind of stuff. And yes, so how do I move over? How do I get out of the way? How do I trust?
A technique that I use with all of my clients, because it's worked so well in my own life, is what I call a contrast sheet. And what I say to people, for instance, if you're looking at, let's say, a new business, now you can do this sheet for anything. You can do it for creating just a vision for your life, a bigger vision for your life, of feeling better about yourself and whatever. You can do it for a career, relationship, whatever. So let's just say you're doing it on a career and you're not happy with where you're at, and you've gone through a lot of different experiences of business and career in your life, and you're really wanting to move into a new place. Where we get hung up sometimes is that we're not really sure what that new place is, and we're not really sure what it is that we really want. And
right.
So we're very nebulous about it. And so the contrast sheet goes like this. You have two pieces of paper, and on one side, you're going to write down what you don't like. Let's say you're in a business, and let's say one of the things you might write down would be, I don't like being concerned about money. And so then the contrast to that becomes obvious. But it's not just I want money. It's a very powerful, spiritually grounded intention or affirmation that would say something like, I am so grateful that dollars flow to me effortlessly. We understand that dollars are energy. So we want to put statements of gratitude, appreciation, surrender, allowing, attracting, those kind of statements. So you might put another statement, I don't like working in a confined space with no flexibility or something like that. And then maybe your contrast to that would be something about, I am attracting to me opportunities that offer freedom and flexibility.
So you see how the statements go?
They're very powerful. And it's so easy. It is so easy to see clearly what you really do want when you recognize what you don't want. It's so simple to do that. So then when you get finished, and you might have, you know, several dozen, it doesn't matter how many statements you have, you burn the negative ones. because you have a little ritual and you just burn them up and release them. And now you take these other statements, and there's probably some redundancy in there, and kind of wordsmith them. And, you know, you can, as opposed to just having 17 affirmations, you kind of put them together in somewhat of a vision paragraph.
Okay.
And then you take that, and it's not about reading it, because reading it, there's no power in the words. There's only power in the feeling behind the words. So there's no power in the word. It has to be the feeling behind it. So you take these statements, and particularly before you go to bed at night, you look at that, and you get excited about it. And if it's really long, you might just work with just a couple of the statements each night.
Right.
And you get into the feeling of it. What does it feel like to have dollars flowing in your life effortlessly and using them for whatever it is that you want to use them for? What does it feel like to be attracting to you opportunities and experiences and people that are fun to work with, and the flexibility and freedom of working from home or whatever that might look like, but not getting involved in the details?
Okay.
The whole key here is that the statements are powerful and they're spiritually grounded, but they're not details. It's like, I'm grateful for the dollars that flow. It's not a number of dollars, or it's not a matter of I have to have this much more each month. It's none of those details. I'm grateful for the dollars that flow effortlessly and joyously into my life.
I like that. Yes, it makes a lot of sense, and it also feels good because you're not focusing on all the little nitty-gritty things that may happen in between where you are and where you want to be. You're focusing on where you want to be, and that feels good.
And what happens is if you get too focused in on details, it's like, well, okay, I'm drawing to me this wonderful new opportunity. Oh, but what is it going to be? Is it going to be with a company? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be in this town? Is it going to be? And as soon as you get into that, your energy plummets. Your vibration goes down to a fear level, confusion.
Oh, yeah.
So there's such power in clarity. And this type of an exercise gives you tremendous clarity. And you can do it about a romantic relationship. You can do it about a career. You can do it just a vision of your life. You know, one of the first things that I have a client do is a vision for their life. And they might start out with, I don't like feeling less than.
Right.
And then a powerful statement would be, I'm a powerful spiritual being with all
right.
of the attributes of God, you know, or whatever the language is that works for people.
So it really is staying with the what rather than the how.
Exactly. And someone once said to me, you are the what and God is the how.
You're the what and God is the how.
And God is the how.
I like that.
Yeah, and God's in the details, so you don't get into the details. And I tell you, we are such a detail-oriented society, so that is one of the most difficult things to do. But once you start doing that, it becomes your practice, it becomes easy. And then you do
right.
it on every level of life.
Well, it is a whole change in mindset, Carol, because we are rewarded for being able to figure it out.
Yes.
And for setting the minute goals and the steps by steps by steps. You know, I notice that with people that I coach through what I call the don't know. It's like the in-between the trapezes space. You know,
right.
It's a very difficult space in our society because you are not rewarded or accepted if you don't know or if you don't know how. It really is changing into a mindset. But I can tell you that when I was able to go through that experience and you know, I'd like to hear how it was for you. I mean, it was so much more relaxing.
Oh,
to not have to figure it all out.
Oh, it is, and it's so much fun when you see things just fall into place, and the telephone rings, and it's like, and you realize that you're just simply putting out a vibration that is magnetizing back to you wonderful things. Wonderful opportunities, wonderful discoveries, and it's a wonderful way to live your life.
It is, and it's sort of like that spirit of adventure I was talking about before. Since you're kind of just looking around and seeing what's coming to you, it does have a feel of adventure to it for me.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of fun.
Yes, it is.
So where are the various signs, signals, and phone ringings that are coming to you now sort of guiding you to go next with your life, Carol?
Well, I had a very interesting experience just recently. And 5 years ago, my son, who was 41 at the time, made a very sudden transition. Now, I truly believe that on an unconscious level, when the soul is complete, transition happens, and we move back into the non-physical. And I believe that that transition is simply one from going from a physical body into pure positive energy. I don't believe in any kind of purgatory or hell or anything like that. We move right back into pure positive energy.
Right.
And we're back into spirit and back into the non-physical. And so he was very sudden, and there was no cause of death. Even an autopsy couldn't come up with a cause of death. He just stopped breathing one day. He wasn't sick or anything. And so we became rather clear that this was a choice he was making. Well, 3 weeks after he made that transition, Doreen Virtue, who is a medium who works with the other side, happened to be a guest speaker at our church. And I asked her if she would give me a private reading and bring Jeff in. That was my son. And so she did, and he came right through, and he said a lot of things in that reading that I absolutely resonated with. And he said some things that I didn't understand, but then I asked my daughter-in-law, and she confirmed some things for me, things I didn't know, which made an even deeper believer out of me. But one of the things that he said in that reading that I totally blew off was that I was supposed to write children's books. And at that point, I wasn't thinking about writing a book at all. And if I were to write a book, the last book kind of book I would ever write would be a children's book, because I would never think of myself as a children's teacher. And so I just blew that off. And I never really told anybody that he said that, because it was like it didn't make sense to me, and so I just, it wasn't, I forgot about it. Well, a few weeks ago was the fifth anniversary of his transition, and early that morning I was looking at his picture at my desk, and I said, hey, Jeff, you know, anything that you need to say and, you know, anything you want to tell me? Well, a few hours later, I went to lunch with a couple of women who were interviewing me for a book they're writing. And one woman said to me, I have a message for you before we get started. She said, this morning I was meditating, and I was visualizing you and us having this conversation and having this interview go really well. She said, and in my meditation, a man walked up to the table. I asked him who he was, and he said, Jeff. And I said, Carol's Jeff? And he said, yes. And then she said, well, to him, what is it that you want? He said, I have a message for her. And she said, what is it? He said, it's time for her to start writing those children's books. And she said, about what? And he said, about the law of attraction. Well, I was just absolutely blown away. I mean, my mouth was on the floor by the time she finished, because she had no idea that that had ever happened, and she was sort of uncertain about this message. And I said, oh, you have no idea that that actually is a rerun of what he told me 5 years ago. So I have decided, and since then, my youngest daughter has had a child who I absolutely adore, who I've spent a lot of time with. He is 3.5 years old, and I have just, you know, just had an opportunity to really, really be in his life. So it is perfect that I can now write a book for a 4-year-old about the law of attraction. And I'm going to let him write it through me. And I'm going to let Jeff be a part of that process.
So, that is just great.
Yeah. So So I'm excited about doing that, about stepping into writing some children's books. I'll probably do one this year for a four-year-old, and then a little one next year for a five-year-old, and I'll just follow his path.
Just follow his growth.
Yeah.
That is great.
And I don't know how that all looks, and I don't know what it's all going to, you know, come out to be, but I've surrendered that, you know. If it's meant to be, it's going to work itself out. And not that I don't have to do anything, because obviously there's always an action step that we move into. And I'm taking some of those action steps now in terms of an illustrator and working in partnership with somebody and collaborating and putting my little grandson, Colin, on my lap and saying, well, what would you like to learn today?
What would you like to learn today? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I told my son Jeff.
I said, "Okay, if you obviously think I should write children's books, so I'm going to say to you, write it through me. Write it through me, because I just believe that we never go anywhere. That piece of soul that was Jeff in a physical form is still Jeff in the non-physical form, but it's only a piece of Jeff's soul." Because I believe that, you know, our soul has many pieces to it, and we're living many lifetimes all at the same time. We're living parallel lives.
Right.
That's why, whether it's, you know, you can still pray to Jesus, and the piece of soul that was Jesus in the human form is still that piece of soul in the non-physical. So when you call on the name of a prophet or the name of, or you call on a loved one, that piece of that soul, that energy is still available and still around you.
Well, that is just a great story, and I guess, you know, Jeff's been out there just trying to get you to do this for 5 years, so way to go.
I know, and obviously he couldn't get to me, so he sent the message through somebody else.
I know. Come on, Mom, listen.
You're right. She's not listening. I got to get it to her some way else.
It makes it
a very joyous. I mean, it's difficult to lose a child, obviously, and yet when you know that you never die, and when you know that when that soul moves over to the non-physical, they're really still with you in spirit. The human part of us grieves, and certainly as a mother, I grieved. And, you know, you can no longer put your arms around that human body, but
right.
I feel his presence always, and always feel his presence. And so I know he's still there, and still a part of my life.
Oh, absolutely.
And that makes the loss of a loved one so much more of a joyous experience rather than such a sorrowful experience.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, that is just a great story about connection, you know, and how it goes on. Well, Carol, we only have a few more minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that people know the best way to get in touch with you and also to find out about your products and services and to get a copy of your book also.
Well, the best way is to go to my website, which is Carol O'Connell, and that's Carol with an E. Carol O'Connell, OCONNELL.com. CarolO'Connell.com. And on there, I've got some a seminar, DVD and CD. I've got the book and just lots of other information. You can listen to a message. I've got some messages on there and stuff like that.
And can you also access it through the Center for Creative Living, or does it just come up under your name, the website?
It just comes up through my name.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to double check. So that's Carol O'Connell, which is
C-A-R-O-L-E.
O-L-E. Sorry about that.
Yes.
O-C-O-N-N-E-L-L. So that's Carol
exactly.
with an E, O'Connell.com.
.com. Yep.
And that's great. Listen, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
I've absolutely enjoyed it.
It's been a lot of fun, Karen, and I've enjoyed being on the show, and I wish you much, much success with this radio program.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope to see you very soon, and many blessings as you swing between those trapeze bars.
And same to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Al.
Okay, and to our listeners, I would like to say thanks for listening tonight, and our guest next week on Flying Higher will be Gary Bunnell. Now, Gary Bunnell is a lifelong student of mysticism, and he teaches an ancient path called the Knowing Way. And Gary has written a number of books that contain information on everything from the Akashic Records to the origin of man to the expansion of conscious awareness to self-realization. So we're very much looking forward to speaking with Gary Bunnell next week. That will be next Sunday at 10:30 Eastern Time, at 7:30 Pacific Time on Flying Higher. This is Karen Stone, your host for tonight, saying thank you so much for listening and have a good evening.
You have been listening to Flying Higher with Gina Jones, heard every Sunday night here on BBS Radio Late Night. Gina's latest book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, is now available at Amazon.com. Join us next Sunday at 7:30 Pacific for another enlightening discussion on Flying Higher.